So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter number 20, the dynasty of Puru, text number 16. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Iti Yukte Yata Dharmam Upayeme Shakuntalam Gandharva Virina Raja Desha Kala Vidhana Vit Om Ityukte Yata Dharmam Upayeme Shakuntalam Gandharva Vidhina Raja Deshakala Vidhanavit Om Ityukte Yata Dharmam Upayeme Shakuntalam Gandharva Vidhina Raja Deshakala Vidhanavit Vedantavit. Upayeme Shakuntalam Gandharva Vidhina Raja Deshakala Vidhanavit Omit Yukte Yata Dharmam Upayeme Shakuntalam Gandharva Vidhina Raja Deshakala Vidhanavit Omit Yukte Yata Barmam Upayeme Shakuntalam Gandharva Vidhina Raja Deshakala Vidhanavit Omit Yukte Yata Dharmam Upayeme Shakuntalam Gandharva Vidhina Raja Deshakala Vidhanavit Omit Yukte Yata Dharmam Upayeme Shakuntalam Gandharva Vidhina Raja Deshakala Vidhanavit Ladies Omit Yukte Yata Dharmam Upayeme Shakuntalam Gandharva Vidhina Raja Deshakala Vidhanavit Omit Yukte Yata Dharmam Upayeme Shakuntalam Gandharva Vidhina Raja Deshakala Vidhanavit Omit Yukte Yata Dharmam Upayeme Shakuntalam Gandharva Vidhina Raja Deshakala Vidhanavit Om Iti Yukte. By reciting the Vedic Pranava, invoking the Supreme Personality of Godhead to witness the marriage. Yata Dharmam, exactly according to the principles of religion, because Narayan becomes the witness in an ordinary religious marriage also. Upayeme, he married Shakuntalam, the girl Shakuntala, Gandharva Vidina, by the regulative principle of the Gandharvas, without deviation from religious principles. Raja, Maharaj Dushmanta, Deshakala, Vidhanavit, completely aware of duties according to time, position, and objective. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When Shakuntala responded to Maharaj Dushyanta's proposal with silence, the agreement was complete. Then the king, who knew the laws of marriage, immediately married her by chanting the Vedic Pranava Omkara in accordance with the marriage ceremony as performed among the Gandharvas. Purport. The Omkara Pranava is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, represented by letters. Bhagavad Gita says that the letters A-U-M combined together as Om represent the Supreme Lord. Religious principles are meant to invoke the blessings and mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who says in Bhagavad Gita that he is personally present in sexual desires that are not contrary to religious principles. The word vidina means according to religious principles. The association of men and women according to religious principles is allowed in the Vedic culture. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we allow marriage on the basis of religious principles, but the sexual combination of men and women as friends is irreligious and is not allowed. Vandeha. Shri Guru. Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Damsa Jiva Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadeshatarine. So, here it is mentioned in this purport that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he is presently present in sexual desires that are not contrary to religious principles. This phrase can be juggled. If you put a comma after the word sexual desires, then it means Krishna is sex desires, and by the way, they're not contrary to religious principles. But if there's no comma, then it qualifies only those sex desires that are not contrary to religious principles. This distinction was first pointed out to us, I remember, in 1979, Sura Prabhu in Houston, Texas, sitting in the Pashadam room. I remember Sura pointed out this distinction. I went, wow, that's really profound, you see. That little comma makes a big difference. So what does this tell us about the process of Krishna consciousness? That little comma completely flips the meaning the opposite way. Krishna says, I am sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles. Oh, great, Krishna is sex, and it's not contrary to religious principles. Go for it, you see. But no, he's only that sex, which is not contrary to religious principles, and not the other sex, you see. So in this way, we have to be very, very careful when we approach these teachings. Even a slight difference, this is called Pandora's box, you see. Opening Pandora's box means a little innocent, slight change can bring disastrous results. So we have a legacy, you see. Prabhupada came, he gave us this movement, he gave us these teachings. Now we got 10,000 years, or actually began 500 years ago, so 9,500 years of this movement on this planet, you see. We have a dying breed, it's called the Prabhupada disciples, who are checking out of the hotel every day or so. Another Prabhupada disciple leaves. And a little bit further down the road, there won't be any Prabhupada disciples left on this planet. You see? So how careful we have to be now, you see, to understand and implement these teachings of Srila Prabhupada, not to in any way change what Prabhupada has given us. We have the greatest legacy. Prabhupada ordered us to become guru and deliver the whole world, you see. That's our mission, you see. That's when we're actually successful, you see. When Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, when the high court judges wear tilak, then we are successful, you see. So we have a long way to go to become successful according to the standard of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. We want that every high court judge should wear tilak, and that means the prime ministers. We want in every single place throughout the world, educational institutions, the entertainment industry like Hollywood and Bollywood, everywhere, you see. Krishna consciousness will be the theme, you see. Every government, every university, etc. So therefore, we have to be very, very careful. We have to pray to Prabhupada for the intelligence to understand exactly what you want us to do, Prabhupada. What is the actual meaning of being Krishna conscious, and what is it exactly you want us to do? We don't want to get off on some tangent which will destroy this movement that turned ISKCON into MISKCON. We have to be very, very careful. This greatest legacy, the greatest gift has been handed to us by Srila Prabhupada for our benefit and the benefit of all the conditioned souls. So how careful we must be. You see, we have a cheating tendency. Prabhupada told us we have four defects. We have imperfect senses. Because of that, we have a tendency to be illusioned, you see. And because we have the tendency to be illusioned, we make mistakes. And in spite of all these three faults, we think, yes, I am very learned, I am very intelligent. This is called cheating, you see. So we have to be sober and realize, my senses are imperfect. I am imperfect. So I have to beg for the mercy that I can properly understand what are Prabhupada's teachings. beg for the mercy. It's like now there's a leaders meeting coming up in Houston, you see, discussing different issues. So we have to be very much in this mood of just begging Srila Prabhupada to give us the proper understanding, exactly what you want, that's all. Without not we throw any interpretations into Prabhupada's teachings. Prabhupada, exactly what do you want us to do? Exactly what is your desire for us? This is the mood, you see. This is our life and soul. This is how we touch Prabhupada's lotus feet. This is how we keep Prabhupada's lotus feet on our heads at every minute. By constantly begging him from within our hearts, please give us the proper understanding of what is your desire for us. And give us the ability to be able to successfully carry it out. That our every thought, our every word, our every deed, and every situation will be absolutely in accordance with your desires. You see? Our only happiness is to please our beloved Srila Prabhupada. That's our only happiness. That's our only consideration. You see? That's all. We just have to please Prabhupada, what he wants. We may have our ideas, and that's okay. But we have to make sure that our ideas, our plans will actually please Srila Prabhupada. It's a very important thing. We may think, well, we can increase the number of devotees if we do this. But are we making devotees who are actually going to be trying to please Prabhupada? Or is it some new consciousness coming in, you see? Vox populi or what? Political correctness, you see? We have to be very careful. Do we want to be politically correct or Prabhupada correct? You see? Our business is to be Prabhupada correct. What is the correct thing to do according to what Prabhupada wants us to do? So we have to pray like this, and we have to be sincerely open to them. Whatever, not my agenda or your agenda. What is Prabhupada's agenda, you see? We have to lay aside our preconceived ideas. And we know one thing for sure. We have to become pure devotees, and we have to make the world Krishna conscious. We know that for sure. Now, how to do that? We need to discuss amongst ourselves, you see, and come to some mutual understanding. That's the only way we can stay together as a movement. Everything else is open to discussion, not that my idea or your idea. What is Prabhupada's idea, you see? We have to be open to that. Try to understand, what is my beloved Srila Prabhupada want of me? What does he want of us? In this way, if we sincerely endeavor, you see, Teshang Satata Yuktanam, Bhajatang Pratipurvakam, Tadami Buddha Yogam Tam, Yenamam Upriyantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding how they can come to me. So it's not difficult. It simply requires sincerity. All we have to do is sincerely want to please Prabhupada, and then everything wonderful, everything beautiful, unimaginably ecstatic transformations will take place within our hearts and within the world around us. You see, we're fighting a revolution on two fronts. Bahirna Singha, Hridayena Singha. We sing it every day. But it's very significant. Prabhupada elaborates on the meaning of these simple words in his purport in the Bhagavatam. Hridayena Singha, I'm praying that Lord Nrisimhadev will dwell within my heart, driving out all the nonsense from my heart. I'm just begging Nrisimhadev, please completely revolutionize my heart, drive out all of this nonsense. Hridayena Singha. And Bahirna Singha, Prabhupada says, may I be able to bring peace to the entire world, you see. Our mission is to Krishnize the whole planet at least. This whole planet at least. Make it Krishna conscious. So that is called Bahir Nasingha. You see. So revolution within and revolution without. That is our assignment, our duty given to us by our beloved Srila Prabhupada. And by his potency, it's possible that we can actually get out of Maya. We can actually realize Krishna. I was hearing a lecture a couple of weeks ago. It was amazing. Prabhupada was saying that if you simply become fully pleasing to Krishna, Krishna will appear before you. He will speak with you and he will bless you. Just imagine coming to that position that you can actually see Krishna. Well, it's available. Even when I was a young brahmachari, I used to write Prabhupada so many letters with questions. Actually became a policy not to do that. When I joined, it was still cool. You could write Prabhupada a letter. But then in the middle of my having that access to Prabhupada, they changed the policy. But I had a hard time with that policy because I'd been spoiled by getting some correspondence already back and forth about different questions. And I was a little bit of a rascal. I went ahead and wrote Prabhupada anyway. But I didn't put my name on the return address. So we get through security, you know. But our Prabhupada was very kind. He was very, very kind to me. He reminded me of the new policy. You know, just write your GBC, ask your temple president, ask the sannyasi. He reminded me of the new policy. But then he told me, but if there's any urgent need, I'm always happy to hear from my beloved disciples. Wow, I had my loophole. I had a special, Prabhupada told me if I had an urgent need, I could directly write him. Even though it was an official policy, no devotee should write Prabhupada. Prabhupada told me that. So it was great. I wrote a few more letters. But Prabhupada gave me a little tip in that letter. He said, if you will serve Krishna with full sincerity of attitude 24 hours a day, Krishna will personally come and answer all your questions. Well, I haven't gotten there yet, but I know it's possible to achieve that state. So I'm trying to get there. You know, I'm just battling it out, you know, trying to get to Anartanaviti at least, you know. But it's there. That state is there. And if we stick with this process with enthusiasm, determination, and patience, that day will come when Krishna will reveal himself to us. Even before you go to the spiritual world, even in your material body, Krishna can come and reveal himself to you in this world. It's possible. Prabhupada told me. So, you know, that on the one hand, we endeavor with that internal purification. On the other hand, we think, well, how can we revolutionize this world? How can we attract all these people to Krishna? The whole world is just going crazy, going deeper and darker. Kali Yuga consciousness is getting worse and worse every day. I mean, it's just shocking what's going on here. Now you got your natural gas thing here. You got ISIS. The ISIS crisis is just one thing after another, getting worse and worse and worse and worse. It's becoming more and more clear that the only hope for this movement is the Krishna consciousness. The only hope for this world is the Krishna consciousness movement. There's no other hope. In fact, it's predicted by the poet Yeats, very wisely predicted by poet Yeats. He said, things fall apart, the center cannot hold, mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. And what rough beast is slouching his way to Bethlehem, waiting to be born? Well, that rough beast has now been born. That's our movement, you see. The poem was called The Second Coming. This movement is actually that second coming of the Messiah, you see, to bring a complete transformation of the world. So how careful we have to be to safeguard this movement, to keep it pure exactly how Prabhupada wanted it. Otherwise, the whole thing will be spoiled, you see. Don't make it another Gaudiya Math, you see. Keep it exactly as Prabhupada wanted it. That we have to be very, very careful to do. So, are there any questions? Yes. Let me turn up my hearing aid volume a little bit here. See if I can pick up the questions. You may have to tell me in my ear, but I'll try. Yeah, question?
Hmm. Last time when a couple of devotees, myself, were on traveling Sankirtan,
yeah.
We saw a lot of different Harinam parties from different groups that weren't ISKCON. So should we be just happy to see that there's actually devotees growing, even if they're in other groups? Or should we just be happy to see if devotees are growing in ISKCON?
It's interesting in this connection. Bhaktivinoda Thakura said that the Salvation Army Band is a manifestation of Lord Chaitanya's movement. That's a pretty interesting statement by Bhaktivinoda Thakura. Of course, they used to do Christmas carols. Now they just ring a bell, and that's about it. In the old days, they'd be out there with the whole band singing, you know, Christmas carols on the streets. Any glorification of Krishna is good, of course, but if it's mixed in with, just like there's one popular Hare Krishna kirtan singer who also sings Durga with great passion and intensity. He sings Durga kirtan. So, of course, this is Namaparad. They're Namaparadis, the ones that I'm familiar with. So, I have mixed feelings about it. But it's nice that more people are taking the kirtan, but they're not really getting the real kirtan, the actual pure kirtan that's coming down from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're getting the sahajaized type of kirtans, you see. So we need to capitalize on this increased popularity of kirtan and become recognized as the leading kirtaniyas in the world. Somehow or other, we have to take this popularity of kirtan and capitalize on it. You see? That's my take on it.
I guess to clarify my question was, yeah. there's different groups where there's like acharyas from Gaudiya Math that create their own group and just chant Hare Krishna.
The Gaudiya Math kirtan is good, but not as good. You see? The Gaudiya Math, there is no Gaudiya Math. It's all these little split up mini Gaudiya Maths. The Gaudiya Math disintegrated after Bhakti Sananda left. The one Gaudiya Math does not exist. It's little individual mini Gaudiya Math. The Gaudiya Math doesn't exist anymore. You see? That disintegrated after Bhakti Sananda left the planet. All this fighting. They broke up into little mini, just like if ISKCON broke up into, 300 different little mini movements. You see, that's what happened with the Gaudiya Math. There's no Gaudiya Math. It's a little mini split offs from the Gaudiya Math. They call themselves this Gaudiya Math, that Gaudiya Math. But the Gaudiya Math doesn't exist anymore. It's non-existent. The fact is that none of the God Brothers of Srila Prabhupada or the disciples of the God Brothers of Prabhupada had the full potency of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur for delivering the entire world. So Prabhupada wanted them actually to work with us under our GBC. He wanted to be united, that they come and they work with us. Prabhupada is actually the leading Vaishnava Acharya. He is the predominant Acharya after Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So Prabhupada's vision was they should all come and work with us and be under the GBC. Just like this temple is under the GBC, all the Gaudiya Maths, they should be under the GBC as well. That was Prabhupada's vision. So then it'll be very powerful if they unite under our GBC. You see? They'll come and, yes, we'll be a part of your movement now. And we were foolish to not join you earlier. Now we will join you. That's what I would like to see. They all come and work with us under the direction of our GBC. That's very welcome. But they're not there yet. I'm praying it'll come. Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhu. In your class you mentioned politically correct, Prabhupada correct.
I can't hear him. You can't tell me. The mic is making it worse. He'll repeat it for me. Go ahead.
Wait till he's asking the question.
Yeah.
You said in your class, you mentioned the word politically correct, Prabhupada correctness too.
Yeah.
So sometimes when we have issues in our society, or resolving a particular preaching program. Devotees, in one side, quote Prabhupada to explain their case, and another group of devotees.
Everyone's quoting Prabhupada.
Right. So
we have to see, the thing is, Prabhupada's statements in different places carry different weight. The most authoritative statements are the books. Somebody takes a conversation that Prabhupada had with some professor and puts that on equal level, but it's in the books. That's not a proper understanding of the difference of the weight of Prabhupada's statement. According to time, place, and circumstance, Prabhupada can tell a professor a certain thing, but the real standard we have to see in the books. The books are the base. These are the law books for the next 10,000 years. You see, the conversations, they help us, but the real authoritative thing is what is in the books. You can't take a comment to some professor as being more weighty than what's in the books. You see? Yeah.
So in this particular case, for example, when Lord Chaitanya says, become Krishna conscious and make everybody Krishna conscious.
Yes.
And that's the order of every guru. And Prabhupada also wants that. So now, at the present time, it appears that they have a difficulty to understand who could become a guru in respects to
initiating guru.
Women, for example, women.
Yeah.
And you see different quotes from different sides. And it appears that sometimes may contradictory, even within Prabhupada, may appear to be.
That actually, there's no contradiction. You have to see the context in which statements are made, and you have to see what's the most authoritative thing in the books, and you see how the other things relate to them. Actually, there's no contradiction. There is no contradiction. But we have to understand the books have the most authoritative statements that for us to follow what's in the books. Otherwise, we'd be, you know, if the conversations were equally potent, then Prabhupada would say, now print all my conversations and distribute them in mass to the world. He said, no, my books should be distributed in mass to the world. You see? We had the books of the foundation. The books are the basis. Conversations are there, presenting the books to different people and according to different plans, reasons, and circumstances. But the real standard is what is in the books. That's the standard. Yeah.
Thank you for a nice class. Kirtan Melas have become very popular over the last, I don't know, 5 years perhaps, plus or minus. It wasn't something we did during the time of Srila Prabhupada. I was just wondering, do you think it's something that Prabhupada would be pleased to see, tolerant of, or not pleased to see?
Pleased to see what?
These kirtan melas, you know, where the devotees get together in a big group and they just chant for hours on end like that together.
Prabhupada said, let them do in London, he said, let them do kirtan 24 hours. So, yeah, kirtan ki jai. But I prefer the festivals we have in the Baltic countries. It's a combination of kirtan and we have big kirtans, plus we have discourses by different gurus come. Yeah, I like that balance of philosophy and kirtan. I prefer those festivals myself, where you have some static kirtan and you have they have like a whole week of just discourses and kirtan going back and forth. I prefer that just kirtan but no philosophy. I prefer that myself. That's the ones I go to. Yeah.
It's really not a recent phenomenon. When Prabhupada was here in 76, we were having practically non-stop kirtan. Actually, it was a kirtan competition. And that's the aspect that Prabhupada removed. He said it's not supposed to be a competition. You know, they brought in this Bengali group and that group from, you know, the Bangladesh. And there were so many groups and they were more or less competing in kirtan.
Great,
so
Prabhupada, for a minute, let me catch up because I'm not catching any of it. Let me get a catch up with him first.
Yeah.
In Mayapur.
Yeah, so Prabhupada removed...
There was also lectures going on at the same
time. He removed
the
aspect of competition, but he didn't say to stop getting together and chanting. Of course, getting together and chanting is good.
He removed the competition from it? Kirtan is glorious. They should go on 24-hour kirtan is our standard. 24-hour kirtan. But just like in Vrindavan, there's 24-hour kirtan, but then the Bhagavatam class is also part of the 24-hour kirtan. It's also kirtan. Just like, who is the great leading acharya of kirtan? Shukadeva Goswami. What was his kirtan? Bhagavatam was his kirtan. So this is kirtan right now. You can't say this isn't kirtan. This is kirtan. Shavanam kirtanam. Next question.
And then they added just recently, like 2 years ago, the Bhagavad Mela, or the Shravana Mela.
Jai. Next question. Yes, Prabhu.
Yes, you mentioned the importance of Srila Prabhupada's books. What about books that came from like lectures like Beyond Birth and Death and Perfection of Yoga like that?
The key curriculum is the books that Prabhupada directly authored. These books are also very good, and some of these were produced also when Prabhupada was here. They're very good. They're little samples of what you get in the books. They're like appetizers for the feast. You see? The feast is the books, Prabhupada's books, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Upanishad, Easy Journey, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, it's Nectar of Instruction, etc. This is the feast. These other little things are appetizers to get you to lure you to the feast, and they're very good also. Next. Yes. What is my opinion on initiating women gurus? Well, I'm actually strongly opposed, which is considered politically incorrect these days in some circles, but I'm really a firm conviction of this. I travel with my wife, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi, and she is very much a guru. In fact, my disciples call her Guru Mata. They give her, they're obedient to her, they offer obeisance to her, just like they do to me. So she's very much a guru, which I do, I'm the one who does the initiation. So I don't, so women can be potent like gurus, but as far as the initiation, according to Bhagavad's, the purport in the Bhagavatam, that is not for women, that's not women's duty to give diksha. There are rare cases like Janava Mata. But Janava Mata, she was an Anga Manjari from the spiritual world. She wasn't, you know, a conditioned soul who had taken up Krishna consciousness. She's a liberated soul. She was so powerful that, I mean, she was also very chaste. She always kept her head covered. She was cooking one day with her head covered. And the wind blew the head cover off her head, so she manifested two more arms to put the cover back on her head while she kept cooking. So, somebody like that, not an ordinary soul of this world. And even those who were initiated by her, they were also considered to be disciples of Lord Nityananda. They were considered disciples of her husband. So, you know, to say that Janava Mata was initiating, so, you know, we can let our ISKCON women also initiate. It's a big stretch. It's a big stretch. Stretching it too far. If you stretch a rubber band far enough, it'll break. It's too big of a stretch, in my opinion. Too big of a stretch. On the other hand, you know, the women have to be more respected in our movement. They had to be really treated as mother. Mother is also my master. When I was a kid growing up, you know, my father was at work and my mother was at home. The mothers had to be treated as masters, as Prabhus. No, we don't have to call them Prabhu. Prabhupada personally told me to call, a personal instruction to me, he said, address every woman as mother. A personal instruction to me from Srila Prabhupada, address every woman as mother. But mother is also Prabhu. In fact, in my kid life, my mother was a bigger Prabhu than my dad. You see, she's a bigger Prabhu, bigger master. So we are guilty in this movement of not giving proper respect to the women. But to let them initiate, that's not the solution for that. We have to treat them as our mothers. I'm your son. You're my mom. That we have to do. That's the real solution for the gender issue. Treat them really as your mothers. You know? Treat them really as your mother. That's the real solution. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much. If the questions are over, you promised to give a bit of a travelogue, what you've been up to since the last time you were here.
Oh, yeah, a little travelogue, okay. we started off in Austin about 6 weeks ago. We headed out to London. It's really ecstatic. There's the manor. Every Wednesday night, they have a program called Mind, Body, and Soul up in Prabhupada's room for the new people. It's not like the regular lecture, you know, on the Vyasa song. They have somebody playing the guitar for the kirtan, you know, kind of like a bridge program. But it's really, I do it several times a year. I go there and catch the Wednesday night mind, body, and soul class. It's really, really nice. All these people who are new, they're enthusiastic, their eyes are wide open, they're just really enlivened. It's really a wonderful program at the manor. And then after that, you go down and give a regular Gita class in the temple room. But I like the class upstairs better than the one in the temple room. And then from there we headed out to Mauritius. I call it Delicious Mauritius. Because it's, you know, it's a paradise island out in the middle of the pristine, fresh air. You know, it was lychee season. Everywhere the lychee fruits are growing on the trees. Every morning they bring me a whole branch full of lychees for my breakfast off the tree. I mean, it's really something. And we had there, our Bhakti Chaitanya Swami was there, and there was a big Ratha Yatra. There's about maybe 30, on this little island, there's maybe 30 different temples. It's really very Krishna conscious little island. And there's a big Ratha Yatra, and the cool thing about it was the day after the Ratha Yatra ends at the ocean front. And the next day they had a special boat rigged up. It was two boats tied together and they made a platform in between. They made an altar on the boats and they had swans, big swans on the side. And so you have the deities on the boat. And it's beautiful water. You can actually see the bottom of it. It's clear water. You can see the water through the water. And they go out and Bhakti Chaitanya Swami was there leading kirtan. And they had one wireless amps. They had one battery-operated wireless amps. They had one on one boat, another amp on another boat. So Bhaji Chaitanya is there with two mics, just singing his heart out, but just really pumping it out, singing the kirtan. It's just like the whole universe must have been vibrating with that kirtan. It was like one of those kind of kirtans. And all the devotees, we all get individual boats. There's a whole, all these boats were circumambulating Jagannath while the aarti is going on. It's so wonderful. And then all that, they had a huge quantity of prasadam they offered. And then Bhakti Chaitanya Swami is throwing the prasadam, you know, to your boat. You catch a banana or you catch, you know, a papaya or something. All this, a really incredible experience that Ratha Yatra boat festival. So that was a wonderful thing. Then we headed on to, of course, we give many lectures there for a week, different venues there in Mauritius. And then heading down to Johannesburg, in Pretoria, which is the capital, a few lectures there, over to Lanesia, which is a suburb of Johannesburg. And then we headed over to Melbourne. Now, Melbourne is a really special place. There's two temples that I really have a special place in my heart, and that's ISKCON Los Angeles and ISKCON Melbourne, because here devotees come from Mangalarti. It's not just the Bajari, you see. So Melbourne and LA are very similar temples. There you got a huge turnout for Mangalarti. It's a vibrant place, just like your place here is vibrant. It's like there are two different, very Los Angeles and Melbourne are two very special temples in the world. So I just, there's all kinds of Bhakti Bhiksha groups, a huge congregation, all kinds of things going on all over the Melbourne area. They got so that's an ecstatic thing. We preach there, then head to Sydney for some nectarian preaching there, and then we hop the ocean to get over to Santiago just in time for Prabhupada night. Sunday feast is always a big hit, but Prabhupada night is also a big hit. Every Friday night in Santiago, Prabhupada night. So I got to tell the whole story in detail of how I came out of the material world and got the shelter of Prabhupada's lotus feet in great detail. That was a wonderful experience to relive those moments when I came, meeting Mukhanlal or Bhakti Madhurya Govinda and Telegraph Avenue in Berkeley, all these things, going back to all these things. It was wonderful. And then we hopped over the Andes Mountains over to Mendoza, Argentina, for some programs there. Of course, we're in the hot, hot summer. And then we hopped a jet up to Toronto, a couple of stops along the way. Freezing cold, Toronto. But Toronto is an amazing place. This GTA, the Greater Toronto Area. You got the Scarborough Center, you got the Brampton Center, all kinds of wonderful cultivation, big, huge congregation expanding. And then we came to a place known as New Dwarka. And here we are now, heading on to Austin for overnight stop, into the leaders' meeting in Houston, and then Gaurapurnima, and then back again, going to Copenhagen, going to Vrindavan, and then coming back to the Baltic countries. And so we have, actually, it was an old movie, when I never saw it, it was called The Endless Summer, about the surfer who follows the waves. We are on the endless, my wife and I are on the endless preaching tour. We've been doing it for years, the endless preaching tour. Huh? Make some videos? There are, I don't know. There are some videos. You can see some videos posted on ultimateselfrealization.com. There's some videos there of my lectures. And, there's some videos there. Yeah, so, it's really Prabhupada's mercy that he gives me this opportunity to travel and preach. By Krishna's grace, we're still healthy enough to handle it. I don't know how long that'll last, deteriorating bodies. But some people say, well, how can you stand all that traveling? For me, I get so much life and enthusiasm from it. I'm enlivened to travel. You see, I love it. Catching that next flight to that next destination for another series of lectures. And it's just, to me, it's the sweetest nectar. It's pure ambrosia. To me, preaching is so ecstatic, I wouldn't mind taking birth after birth just to keep preaching until all the high court judges are wearing tilak. I don't feel I need to go back to Godhead and get in some miserable trap. I really very enlivened by this preaching, and I really want to just keep doing it until the whole world becomes Krishna conscious. That's my mood. So we'll stop here, and we thank you all very much for your great dedication here in New Dwarka to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. That would have been nice. One man every morning he brings a branch. It's a Bhagavatam class. He brings a cut branch of lychee fruit. The Bhagavatam. That's really good. Fresh lychee off the trees. Oh, good. Wow.